you know what we desperately, desperately need? Somebody said, this is a day of prosperity and plenty. We're rich and increased with goods. We really have need of nothing. But we know not that we're naked, miserable, poor, and blind. And what we desperately, desperately need in this day of great religious confusion and religious prosperity, denominations are bragging about their millions, their numbers. This day of religious competition, intellectualism, and debate. We need to hear from God again. We need to hear from God. It doesn't take a wise man to discover that what we're hearing from the average pulpit. And yesterday, in preparing this message, I spent much of the day not only preparing the message, but reading the church page in the Ashland Independent. I read the entire page, every single word. I started to say every blessed word, but it wasn't a blessed word in it. It doesn't take a wise man to discover that what we're reading and hearing from the average preacher and pulpit is not of God now. It's not of God. There's no use pretending that it is, because it's not of God. It doesn't even sound like God. It doesn't glorify God. It's of man. And the preachers that I hear and read what they write are trying to be clever. Exactly what they're trying to be clever. They're clever men. I read their bulletin boards in front of the church and they're real clever. They're trying to be witty. Preachers are funny. Did you know that? They've always got something smart aleck or funny to say. They think every situation calls for something smart and witty. God didn't call us to be clowns. He called us to preach the gospel. And preachers are trying to be intellectuals. They love to call themselves doctors and masters and rabbis and theologians. And preachers today are trying their best to be consistent with what they think people want to hear. Did you know that? They're trying to be consistent with what natural men already believe, not with the Word of God. You don't know many preachers whom you would classify as bold, brave, brazen prophets, do you? Not in this town. Because most preachers are servants of the church. They do the will of the people. They're servants of the denomination. They're servants of a religious system. They're caught up in a rapid current and dare not reach for the shore. They're not prophets of God. The church is called a non-profit organization. That's exactly what it is. Now, that's a fact. You know that's a fact. Non-profit. And it doesn't seem like many people are reading the Word to find out what God is saying. They're reading the Word and teaching the Word to prove what they already believe. But the old prophets, the old preachers, men of God, men whom God sent, men of whom it was said there was a man sent from God. He didn't just come and scold people and abuse people, but he came saying, thus saith the Lord. That's what he came saying. Thus saith the Lord. Every time he'd preach, he'd say, "Now, thus saith the Lord." He didn't have anything to say except, "Thus saith the Lord." He was afraid to say anything else. And John wrote, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare we unto you." And the voice said, "Cry." And Isaiah said, "Well, what shall I cry? What shall I cry?" And he wasn't asking the deacon board, "What shall I cry?" He wasn't asking the ladies' missionary society, "What shall I cry so as not to be offensive?" He wasn't asking the visitors from other places, "Now, what shall I cry in order not to offend you and maybe win some new members and converts?" He was saying to God, "What shall I cry? Tell me, I'll cry." God says, "Preach," and the true preacher looks to heaven, nowhere else, and says, "What shall I preach?" And the voice comes with a twofold message. Number one, all flesh is grass. Social, political, and religious. Grass. And the glory of man is as the flower of the field. Just a brief, brief bloom. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Endureth forever. Cry, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And cry secondly, behold your God. I believe I have a word from the Lord this morning. A very plain. It's a word for our day and a word for any day and a word for every day. It's a simple word and yet profound. It's a common word and yet a celestial, divine word. Turn to John 10 again. Here's a word from the Master. Here's a word from the Master. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, "I am the door. I am the door. I am the door." When our Lord speaks of himself, he's pleased to use words that men can understand. Wouldn't that be a blessing today? To hear somebody preach in words that men can understand. Our Lord said, "I am the door." I know what a door is. I know what a door is. I know what a door is for. There's not a child in here. Carrie, you know what a door is? You know what it's for? I know this. By passing through a door, I leave the place where I am. And I enter into a place where I want to be. That's very simple, isn't it? But Christ spoke that way. He said, "I am the water." I tell you, water meant something to those people in that area with all of its drought and humidity and hot sun, scattered wells. He said, "I'm the water. Drink of me and never thirst." He said, "I'm the bread." That meant something to those people. Bread. Bread. Good old bread. Home-baked bread. Satisfying, gratifying bread. Bread. I'm the bread of life. And Christ says here, "I am the door." I am the door. And by Christ the door, I pass from where I am by nature to life everlasting. By that door, Christ. I pass from death to life, from darkness to light, from the place of condemnation to the presence of God. I am the door. I thank God there is a door, don't you? By birth and nature and will, we're away from God. We're on the other side. We're on the outside, aren't we? Away from God. And the angels have no door. The scripture says he took not on himself the nature of angels. They have no door. But he took on himself the seed of Abraham. Thank God, in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, he gave us a door. Without a door, this would be a veil of misery. With no hope, in darkness to remain in darkness, in condemnation to remain in condemnation. Salvation never, damnation forever. But there's a door. There's a door. David said, oh God, when I sit out there on the hillside while the sheep are grazing and I look into heaven and I consider the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the things you've made, I think, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. That you should provide a door. A door out of darkness into light. A door out of damnation into God's presence. A door. But watch it. There's but one door. Christ said, I am the door. I am the door. They're not many doors. The ark had but one door. The tabernacle, they were playing it a while ago, the eastern gate, had one door. Is that right? Tabernacle had one door. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Now, if someone wants to go to the tape room this morning, there's several ways you can go. There's a door, go that way. That's shorter, but there's a door. And you can go that way. It's longer. And there's a door. You can go that way or that way. Or you can go that way if you want to or that way. It all depends on how quickly you want to get there. But I'll tell you this. Into the presence of God, there's one door. That's what our Lord is saying here. He says, that's very simple, but it's profound. I am the door. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. It's narrow, it's straight, it's singular. It's definite. I am the door. Christ is the door. Now listen to me just a moment. Just carefully. Will you ever hear this way? Christ said, I didn't say I'm the tunnel. I'm not a long tunnel. I'm not a long process of fears and doubts and searching and waiting and seeking. I'm a door. One step from here to there. Huh? See what I'm talking about? I know these religionists, they want to make this thing of salvation in Christ to be a process, the four steps. He didn't say I'm four steps. He said I'm the door. Well, you got to be an awakened sinner, and you've got to go through all this misery and conviction and fears and doubts and searching and seeking. That's not what he said. I'm the door. You want in there, out of here, take one step through that door. And you're in there. You go through that door, you're out of here, and you're in there. If you don't take a step through that door, you're going to stay in here and out of there. And Christ is the door. Now, you listen to me. And if God has provided a door, why are the religious men digging tunnels? Why are they seeking some other way? If God has provided a door and declared it to be the door and declared it to be the way to God, why would a man seek another way? Because he's a fool, that's why. That's the only answer you can give. Now watch this. By me. Is that clear? I am the door. I am the door. I am the door. I am the door. Not the church, but I'm going to join the church someday.
Go ahead. Another step backwards.
He didn't say the church is the door, the law is the door, baptism is the door. I'm going to be baptized. Go ahead. You'd be just as lost wet as you are dry. Go ahead, try it. Everybody wants to try something. But I am the door. Now watch this. By me, if any man enter in. My friends, Christ is saying it's by my righteousness, not by yours. This is what I'm hearing preached today. We just got to do this and do that and do the other because God wants us to do this and He has a wonderful plan for our lives and we make it work and all this sort of thing. Christ didn't say, you're the door. He said, I'm the door. I am the door. It's by my righteousness, by my holiness, not yours, by my sacrifice, not yours, by my gift, by my sin offering. It's by me that a man enters the presence of God. It's not by our works or our faith or our deeds or our faithfulness. It's by His work and His deeds and His faith and His faithfulness. I am the door. There's not any use if you want to go in that room in there to go get you a hammer and a saw and a jackhammer and a drill and come here and start boring another hole through that wall. There's the door right there. Use it. Use that door. I'm going to start a new denomination. Well, now you just do that. We just got 10,000 now, you know. Somebody said, what's the greatest body of divinity? There ain't but one, that's Christ. What church would you join if you was me? The Lord's church. There's just one. That's the church which He purchased with His own blood. I am the door. Turn to Ephesians 2.18. Listen to this. Ephesians 2.18. I hope I can make this plain. I wish I had the whole world listening to me today. Not to me, but to the Word. In Ephesians 2.18, listen. For through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through Him. You see that? I am the door. By me, by my righteousness, by my holiness, by my sacrifice, by my sin offering, by my blood. There's one mediator between God and men. By me, if any man enter in. And I'll tell you this. It's by His power and His divine aid that you enter too. Without Him, we can do nothing. The shepherd finds the sheep, and when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders and bears it home. He lays it on his shoulders. And he said, other sheep I have, them I must bring. It's by me that you enter in. By me. Not by your wisdom, not by your decision. It's by Christ. My friends, God will not speak to nor be spoken to except in Christ. God will not deal with, have business with, or business dealings with in this matter of spiritual thing with any human being, any son of Adam, apart from Christ. That's right. By me. By me. That's what the Lord's saying. You're not going to the Father, to the presence of the Father, or to the communion with the Father, or to the glory of the Father, or to the acceptance of the Father, except by and in me and through me. Because of me. And when I'm there, you're there in me. Christ is the head and we're the body. And watch this. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Who is this? Any man. Any man. Now listen, the same way to God is open to and required of any man. There's not one way for Moses and another for me. Forget that. Just forget any. If you're a dispensationalist or a student of dispensationalism, you're looking at it wrong when you have more than one way to God. Or more than one sacrifice or more than one way of redemption. I know there are dispensations, but not in the matter of saving sinners. All that are in heaven will say unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's not one way for Moses and another way for me. There's not one way for the Jew and another for the Gentile. There's not one way for today and another for the millennium. There's not one way for the harlot and another for the mother. There's not one way for the preacher and another for the people. There's not one way for the thief and another for the honest man. If any man, I am the door, by me if any man, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Any man. There's one door for the most religious man or the most profane man. There's one door for the politician, one door for the prisoner. There's one door for the reformer, and there's one door for the rebel. I'll tell you this. If God's pleased to save you, that Charles Manson, I can't think of anybody, I guess, more despicable. But if God's pleased to save him, now this is what I'm going to say. And you think this is the way Paul said it. I'm not going to say he'll be saved the same way I am. There'd be a little ring of pride in that. I'm going to say I'll be saved the same way he was. Are you with me? Now, I know what I'm saying. And anybody here that knows anything about the grace of God knows what I'm saying, too. If you don't know what I'm saying, you better open the book and look into it a little bit. Because judgment's coming. If that man saved in his despicable, wretched, rotten, corrupt, defiled condition, God may save him. I don't know. He can't. But I'm going to be saved just like he is. That's right. Christ said, I'm the door. If any man, if he won't. Brother Mayhem, I tell you, some good people in this world. God says there's none good. No, not one. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. We haven't yet seen. We haven't, it hadn't really dawned on us, not in reality. We got it in theology. We've got it in creed. We've got it in our catechism. We've got it in our book. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We hadn't even begun to commence to get started to touch the meaning of all have sinned. All the wretchedness, all the corruption, all the defilement, all the distance from God to which man has fallen. Oh, God says you're so rotten you can't even look in my direction and survive. I hear people say, me and Jesus got a good thing coming. You can't even look his way without burning up. You're so far away from God, your sins have separated you from God. God is incomprehensible and unapproachable for any son of fallen Adam, any daughter. I don't care how high on the social ladder, how high on the moral ladder, how high on the legal ladder, how high on the religious ladder, how pure you are in your ways and means. In the flesh, no man can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, no man will see God. That's right. Got to dawn on us. Somehow, somebody, somewhere has got to reveal it to somebody. Just how far we are away from God now, and how impossible it is to return. Except Christ brings us back. He's got to come out and fetch us. He's got to come out and find us and fetch us. He's got to come out and find us and put us on his shoulders, wounded, weary, and bring us home and say, here he is. I washed him. Purged him, cleansed him, made him whole. Here's where he wants to be. See, this thing of salvation is a complicated thing. Christ Jesus has not only got to do something for God in order that God may be just and justifier in satisfying his law and justice, but he's got to do something on behalf of us in fulfilling that righteousness for us, and then he's got to do something in us to make us like what we don't like and hate what we do like. Oh, bless your heart, it's a whole lot more than walking down here and saying, I ain't going to drink no more. It's a whole lot more than coming down here and saying, I love your doctrine. It's a whole lot more than saying, I'm going to be a Baptist, not a Methodist anymore. It's a resurrection. It's a new creation. It's God acting like he acted when he said, let there be light. It's just as colossal and magnificent and wonderful and impossible as that. It's a new birth. It's somebody being born that never was born before. You see what I'm saying? That's right. And that's all done by Christ, by me. If any man, watch this now. Over in 1 John 5, it says, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son, in Christ. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God. And I know, boy, they'll spit on their hands and double up their fists and plow into you if you insinuate that a man, any man, woman, without Christ will perish. But that's what it says. Thus saith the Lord. I've been pastor of this church all these years, and surely I'll go to heaven, not without Christ. Yeah, but preacher, That man's given a lot to the church, and he's been there faithful every Sunday, and see, he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, see? But he served God. He doesn't even know God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. He to whom the Son will reveal him. Yeah, but they're sincere, just sincere as you are. I wouldn't question that. Saul of Tarsus was sincere when he was putting Christians in jail, too. They didn't know Christ. By me. Any man enter in. Now watch this. Enter in. Christ must be entered in. Well, I sure believe that's the way. Well, you're not gone far enough. You got to walk the way. You see, it's not enough to be aware of the door. It's not enough to talk about the door. It's not enough to admire the door. It's not enough to admit that that's the only door. He said, if any man, what did he say? Enter in. To as many as received him, embraced him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed. I know that door is there. I've got that much sense. And I know it's the way into the other room. I understand that. And I know that anyone who goes through there will be in the other room. He won't be in here anymore. He's going to be in there. I can know all that and still be right where I am. Just right smack dab where I've always been. And I think that I've got some friends who are well versed in who the door is. They'd fight you for it. I think I've got some friends that have studied the door to where they know which way the grain goes on it. Where the wood came from and how it was planed and lacquered and lathered and varnished and all that sort of stuff. How high it is and wide it is. And when it was put there. And by whom. But they ain't never entered in. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he and he alone is able to keep that which I've committed. That's right. Committed. committed, received Christ, embraced Christ, eaten Christ. Well, I'm the door. By me, by my power, by my grace, by my righteousness, by my obedience, by my blood, if any man, Jew or Gentile, white or black, male or female, enter in by committal, by receiving Christ, by laying hold on Christ, not just talking about him. There's a lot, everybody's religious. I'll go to Jesus though my sin hath like a mountain raised, and I'll say to him, I'm a sinner undone without your sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. Oh boy, I'm going to Christ. Here, watch this. He shall be saved. I like that. Any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful word. I hate it the way folks are using it today, but the way our Lord uses it here, it's so beautiful. I hate for some loud mouth to come up to me. Are you saved? I think the best answer to that is, tell me what you mean. Saved from drowning, or saved from the Republicans or Democrats, or saved from what? What a beautiful word. I know what he's talking about. It's beautiful. What a definite word. He said saved. S-A-V-E-D. What a permanent word, saved, forgiven, pardoned, justified, redeemed, ransomed, sanctified, adopted, sons of God. Oh, not going to be, am right now. He shall be saved. He didn't say he'll be on his way to salvation. He shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Saved from the guilt of sin. Blessed is a man to whom God will not charge sin. He is able to present us faultless without blame. Saved from the power of sin. Sin shall not, God said, have dominion over you. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Saved by his grace one of these days from the very presence of sin, we shall be like him. And watch this. And he shall go in and out. Well, what's that talking about? I told our Sunday school class this morning, I picked up about 4 different commentaries and read that, and I came away more confused than I was when I started reading. That's a fact. He shall go in and out. Well, one thing I know, this expresses freedom. That us going in and out is free to go where he wants to go. He's not under bondage. He's not under bondage of days and feasts and rules and regulations. He's free. He's not got any fetters or chains on him. He moves about freely. See that tongue? He'd go in and out. In and out. And secondly, I know this. It's a freedom to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, those Old Testament people used to stand outside and wring their hands while the priest went in. They used to stand out there and hold their heads and wonder if there's going to have sunshine or fire and brimstone while the priest represented them. But we, through Christ, can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to stand outside and wait on somebody to come tell you. In Christ, you can enter within the veil. Come on in. Come on in. And I know it's freedom from ceremonial law and bondage. And then I know this. You don't have to go in there and stay in some cave or hermitage or isolated place in order to be protected. You can go in and out, and you be safe from harm and danger, not only in the presence of God's people only, but out there working on your jobs. I'll go with you, he said. I go in and out, but I don't go out alone any more than I can go in alone. I go in by Christ, through Christ, and in Christ, and I come out with Christ. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but you keep them in your hand. You see, a believer doesn't have to come to church to get religious. He walks with Christ and talks with Christ along life's narrow way. You can go down there on the job. It's something you have to do. Somebody say, well, I'd rather be in church. Well, he's no more real here than he is there if you know him. That's right. We got to do what we got to do. And while we're doing it, we might as well be content, hadn't we? And rejoice that God's given us the ability to do it. And the power to get gain, and the power to support our families, and the power. That's right. I'll go with you. He go in and out. And what's he going to do? He going to find pasture. He going to find pasture. That's talking about sheep and shepherd now. That's that. And you know what he said? He's going to find something to eat. Something to feed on, children's bread, spiritual meat. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want, not going to lack, because he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. And I go in and out, and he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen to me. Please listen to me. It doesn't make you any more spiritual because... Well, Martha, let me use you as an example. Martha's a secretary here at the church. She's here every day, working here every day. But that will make her more loved of God, more spiritual than you ladies as secretary down at the bank. You understand what I'm saying? Christ is with you. You're his child. See what I'm saying? I'm here at the church, over at the house in my study, and always busy, not preaching or in a meeting or something. But I'm no more loved of God or near of God or fed of God or cared for by God or more important to God than Terry when you're over there teaching your class at the college. You got to do what you got to do. I got to do what I got to do. And that's the freedom in Christ, you know. It's in and out and find pasture. See if we can find some. I think a lot of men have been driven into religious work to be near God. And I think it's a mistake. I think there's a lot of fellas called to preach because they don't want to work in public works, but they want to be with God all the time. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Because my God is everywhere. My God is everywhere. He loves his people. He loves his sheep, where they are, in and out, and wherever they are. They'll find the good shepherd leading them by the still waters in the green pastures. See that? Because we... You know, I always get upset with these love children of the 60s. They were against the establishment. They were against the workers. And they were against the unions. They were against the management. They were against the political... But they'd take them food stamps and go down to that store, that contractor bill, and get that food that fella canned, that he brought in on the truck that fella drove, that was raised by that poor ignorant farmer, that they slept in his field that night, in his barn. If he hadn't had a barn, they wouldn't have no place to sleep. That's kind of inconsistent, isn't it? So what I'm saying is that we're in this world and we've got jobs to do and things. You got things to make and build and grow and sell and promote and produce. Be a producer. And walk with God. Walk with Christ. In or out. In or out. Find pasture. Because he is my provider. And he's my faithful friend. And be content with what you have. Who you are. And where you are, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you. This is the will of God for you. Because you wouldn't be there if it wasn't for him. That ought to help.